chapter 11 of the book of Exodus. We've gone through 9 of the plagues. And last time Moses and Pharaoh met, Moses says, "The next time I see you, I will kill you." And Moses said, "You have spoken well, I will never see your face again." Now, if you were to stop right there, you would assume that Moses walked out. However, chapter 11 is still a continuation of this conversation. It did not just stop right then. Verse 1, "And the Lord said to Moses, I will bring one more plague on Pharaoh and on Egypt. Afterward, he will let you go from here. When he lets you go, he will surely drive you out of here altogether. Speak now in the hearing of the people, and let every man ask from his neighbor and every woman from her neighbor articles of silver and articles of gold. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, and in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people." Seems like the people, the common people, had more sense than the leadership did. Starting to sound a little more familiar. Leadership was so stuck on themselves that they couldn't see that he just took his country straight into the hand of the judgment of God. And Moses is still standing there. By the way, thanks to movies and things, which I love movies, if they can tell the story right, I really, really enjoy them. However, when we just see the stories that are spoken where you've got, maybe 10 people in the room, and that's all that was in the throne room listening, that's not what I'm reading here. Moses is standing out apparently in a public place with Pharaoh because the children of Israel are there. They are hearing what he's saying. And if it's not the children, it's at least the elders, which is going to be more than just a few people. So this is a big area. It's public. And so everybody is hearing what Moses has to say to Pharaoh. And by the way, they fear him greatly at this point. "Then Moses said," verse 4, "Thus says the Lord, about midnight I will go out into the land, into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on his throne, even to the firstborn of the female servant who is behind the handmill, and all the firstborn of the animals. Then there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as was not like it before, nor shall it be like it again. But against none of the children of Israel shall a dog move its tongue against man." A dog won't even go lick an Israelite. He's not even going to go to him. God said this just so he said, so you know that I'm differentiating between you and my children. So, I'm going to stop right there. This is kind of where I've always just kind of been with, like, I really don't care whether Jesus comes pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib. Don't really care, because God said this whole time, I will protect my children who are faithful. Okay, he did it right there. All they had to do was listen to him. Personally, don't care. In my opinion, there's not enough evidence one way or the other to say that Jesus is coming before the tribulation, middle of the tribulation, or after the tribulation. He really didn't tell us a whole lot because he wanted us to be focused on doing what we're supposed to be doing. Because if we all knew, well, we would just stop. Okay, tomorrow Jesus comes back, so tonight we don't tell nobody about Jesus. Makes sense? Tomorrow's the last chance they'll ever have, and we decide that we're going to celebrate that instead of being out living. Anyhow, where are we at? "But against," verse 8, "and all these servants shall come down to me and bow down to me, saying, get out, and all the people who follow you. After that, I will go out. Then he went out from Pharaoh in great anger. But the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh will not heed you, so that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. So Moses and Aaron did all these things before Pharaoh, and all the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the children of Israel go out of the land. So all those things, God had already told him, I'm going to harden his heart. He's not going to let you go. He did that so he could show the signs and wonders. Now, keep in mind, I think we went up to the first three signs and wonders that were done. We had water to blood, we had the serpents, and I believe we even had lice and maybe even frogs. We had several of them, anyhow, in which the magicians of Egypt conjured up and did the same exact thing. However, God always had the upper hand on them. I personally love, I will say I've always loved that when Aaron's serpent devoured the other two. I always thought that was the most awesome thing, just one big snake eating two others. I thought it was pretty cool myself. Don't know, I like snake movies too. Anybody watch the movie Anaconda besides me? Did anybody go get in a swamp? Yeah, it's okay. So what we see now is we're getting ready to set up the Passover. God is instituting the Passover. The Passover meal was first off set up to be a memorial forever in the land of Israel. All the Israelites are to celebrate it. Now, I just want you to know, because a lot of people have gotten saved and said, we should start celebrating all the Hebrew festivals, because that is where God, this does not pertain to us. God did not take us out of the land of Egypt. God physically took them out of Egypt. Now, we have been delivered type and shadow from Egypt, from the world, through Jesus Christ. And that's where the type and shadowing comes in of Jesus and the Passover lamb. We celebrate that at the same time. That is what we call Easter. That is the Passover time. And so we don't need to worry about going out, eating unleavened bread, giving up sweet things, whatever. Listen, I'm going to stop right here because we're in this season, the Lenten season. I do not celebrate it. If you want to fast, fast any time of the year. Why don't you fast something that means something? I heard one guy, I was on the radio, the guy said, I'm going to give up beer and whiskey. But he substituted something else in there. It was just as bad that he was going to do well to make up for it. Oh, no, beer and cigarettes. I'm sorry, that's what it was. But he wasn't giving up his whiskey. I'm driving down the road listening on the rim like, you got to be kidding me. But see, people want to do it just for religious purposes. Religion doesn't get you anywhere. You can get up every morning, walk around your bed, praying in tongues, reading the scripture, and beating your head with it, and God's not going to be any more holy than he is the person who got up and said, good morning, Lord, and went in and brushed his teeth. We do things for all the wrong reasons. We do not celebrate a Passover. I prefer to call it Passover Sunday versus Easter, because Easter comes from the Eastern religion of Ishtar. But you know what? Even in that, I can get religious and ridiculous. So, you know, we have to watch everything. All right, so then in chapter 12 of Exodus, I'm going to go down through here. I've got some notes on this because there's a lot of details to the Passover festival and the reasons. The first thing is it's celebrated in the month of Nisan. That is March, April. You got to keep in mind it floats. Their calendar is not the same as ours. That's why it gives us March and April. That's why Easter moves on us. It's not the same time every year. It could be a different, and it's early this year. The final plague, let me go back here talking about that final plague real quick. The final plague was pronounced in the midst of everyone. Primarily before Pharaoh and Egyptians to sway them into releasing the Hebrews. God knew it wouldn't, and that's why he told him, this will not do it. He will not let them go. We got to go to this point. Because to be honest with you, Aaron threw down his rod. It turns into a serpent. Moses said, there's going to be frogs. There's frogs. There's going to be bloody water. There's bloody water. There's going to be lice. There's going to be disease. There's going to be great darkness. There's going to be locusts. They're devastated. Their economy is shot. And they just spent how many days in the darkness? And I believe it was 3 days. They spent in total darkness to where they could not even find a door in their own bedroom. But Israel, the land they possessed, was not affected by this. I personally think after 9, I'm going to be persuaded to let them go. And just as all that they did, the children of Israel were given favor by the people, because if you go to your neighbor and you know I'm a Hebrew and I go to you and I say, give me your gold, you're going to be like, sure, just get out of here. Don't bring anything else my way. Here, take it all. Now, keep in mind as well, Pharaoh is still thinking they're only going out for a couple days. God had something totally else in mind. They were to go out, they were to worship, but he was releasing them. He was freeing them completely and forever. So the first thing they do for the Passover is they select the lamb 10 days after the new year begins. This was, God told them, this would be their new year. This would be the first day of Israel's being a nation again. Period. First time ever was this Passover. And God said, 10 days into it, you select a lamb. This lamb was to be spotless. It was to be a yearling. It was to be a young one. Now, if you say you had a family of 4 and you slaughter a lamb and cook him that night, you're not going to eat it. It has to be all eaten. And God said, if you cannot do it because of your family size, go to your neighbor. Hey, you know, Rob's got 4, between the 4 of the 8 of us, we can eat one lamb and have it all gone. Because otherwise, everything was to be burnt to where there was nothing left of it. Nothing salvageable. Then 4 days after the selection, they were to kill it. So this is on the 14th. So 10 days in, you select it. The 4 days afterwards, you slaughter it. Now, okay, let me keep going on this. The number 10 is the word is Yod. It is a number of divine order or the closed hand. It represents the law. Okay? 4 is the word deleth. It means door. So when you take these two to combine them, yad deleth, it means deliverance or release. Okay? God was setting them up. So God was actually setting them up, and he set us up. Because Jesus Christ, what did Jesus say? I am the way. I'm the door. No man comes to the Father but through me. So we've got the door. He's the spotless lamb. He's our deliverance. Okay? It was all type and shadowing for a greater thing than just killing a lamb. Because to be totally honest with you, this was nothing more than a 4th of July celebration. Okay? I mean, it was holy. Don't get me wrong. But that's what it was. It was to be forever. You were to tell your children. You were to sit down when you partake of that meal. And you were to tell your children of how God delivered you. See, that stuff doesn't happen. I don't think they talk about it because they don't even, half the Jews don't even really believe there is a God. So it's not really something that is done. And most of the times, we don't sit around and talk about the good things that God has done, how God has blessed us in the last year, what God has done great through us. Thanksgiving, we'd like to say, oh, we sit around, what are you thankful for? I'm thankful for SpongeBob. Come on, we're thankful for stupid things. But you see, these are supposed to be holy times. That's why they're called holidays, holy day. And so that's what this was. This was to be a holy day in which they would remember God taking them out of Israel or out of the land of Egypt in the wee hours of the morning. Okay, they were supposed to stay put until morning. Well, we have no idea when morning came for them. All we do know is Moses was called for real late at night, and Pharaoh said, get out of my country. Take your children, take your stock, take everything, and just get out of here. Okay? So then at this point, they've killed the lamb, and they've taken the blood. They take the blood with a hyssop branch, and they mark the lintel and the two posts with blood. This was to signify that when the destroyer came through, the blood of the lamb was covering that household. Today, that represents the destroyer cannot come near you because the blood of the lamb is over you. Were the people inside perfect? Well, we're about to prove here when we start looking at the actual Exodus. No. But the blood of the lamb. We are under the blood of the lamb. And so therefore we are marked. Now we do not mark our foreheads or our cheeks. Although if you think about it, I have seen actual Indian paint, American Indian paint, in which they have painted red across their forehead and red down the sides. Which I recently heard Billy Brim talking about this. I've not studied it out. It's very interesting. But the Cherokee tribe in America believe, and it has been their belief for a very long time, that they are descendants of Abraham from the tribe of Dan. When they've gone back and they've studied their their ancestry and the elders teach on what has happened, they've discovered that they served a God named Yahweh. And all these things, they begin to line up. Well, how did they get here, Pastor? I don't believe it. You know what? God said the Jews were going to be all over the earth. We sit here and like to think, well, we couldn't get across from Israel to here. You seem to forget about the 2-mile gap between Siberia and Diadem Island in Alaska. And then another 20. Do you realize that island is American property and it is closer to Russia than it is actual mainland Alaska? It is 27 miles away from Alaska and 2 miles from Russia. So don't tell me, and they can walk across it today. So with all the earth global warming and stuff, and they drive across it. I would never drive across it myself, but don't tell me that they couldn't have got here. As a matter of fact, some very interesting things about even the Cherokee Indians is they were the first tribe to be given status as American citizens in 1847. Because they were considered to be one of 4 tribes that were considered civilized. They still got the shaft. Most of us know the Trail of Tears. If you've been to Georgia, we've been down in those areas where they had their settlements. Helen, Georgia was one of them. And they had a big settlement, but gold and lumber spoke big. And so they were sent out west. And that's the Cherokee tribe is the tribe that... we haven't nailed it down. It's between Cherokee and Crow yet, but that I have a grandmother. So that's pretty cool. So you know, they mark the doors so that the destroyer passes over them. Now, if he came through and did not see the blood, the destroyer had every right to go in and take the life of the firstborn. How the destroyer knew, I don't know. But God knew, the destroyer knew, and the destroyer knew that if he saw the blood on that door, lintel, and on those posts, that he was not to go through it. Now, in verse 8 of chapter 12, we start learning about how they prepared this thing. Okay, they were to have bitter herbs. And this lamb was roasted with its entrails still in it. Now, My very first hog roast was ruined because Filipinos do not believe in gutting their hog. They dig a hole, start the fire, wrap it in palm leaves, and they throw the hog down in there and cook the thing thoroughly. So for some reason, my pork tasted a little funny. I'd have preferred it had been a boar versus that. It was, in my opinion, terrible. I don't know what the purpose is, why God told them to cook it with its entrails in place. Maybe it cooked faster. I don't know. And I just don't know. Again, it probably has to go back to do with type and shadowing of representing Jesus Christ later down the road, that his blood would be poured out. Because later the bones were not even to be broken. This was a prophecy about Jesus Christ. Not one bone in his body would be broken. It'd be disconnected and hanging loose, but they would not be broken, which is significant when you consider that when they came, the soldiers came through before the Sabbath was about to kick in and they needed to make sure these guys died, that they broke their legs. They took a club and they smashed their legs so they could no longer push up because the pressure was, they were suffocating. So they could push up on the thing and they could breathe. So they'd break their legs and they'd suffocate within probably a few minutes. They came to Jesus and they found him dead. So to make sure, they ran a spear through his side. So it probably has something to do with that. Again, I'm not teaching in an in-depth Passover message. We might even do that this year for Easter. But tonight we're not. I just wanted to establish the fact of what's going on with the Passover. Another thing, by the way, bitter herbs could have been something like dandelion greens. Okay, and if you have been one of the fortunate people that your family never forced you to eat dandelion greens, God bless you. Because they are the most bitter thing. They even said horseradish could have been a possibility. A little horseradish for me goes a really long way. And so it was a quick meal is what it was. But it was a meal. Anybody knows anything about greens and even the protein from the meat? This was a meal that was going to pump you up and get you ready for a journey. You're going to have a lot of protein. You're going to have some greens to go with that to help break it down and to keep you moving. And if you understand fiber, that was a pun. So again, they were to leave nothing behind. If they could not eat it when they got up in the morning, they were to totally burn it. Burn it beyond you were able, it would never burn again. It would never cook. And it was to be roasted on a fire, not just boiled or steamed or however else they might have cooked it. It was to be roasted on a spit. Verse 11, they were also to be dressed and ready to go. He said, have your staff, have your sandals, and have your belt on. Most of us, we sit down for a big meal. What do we like to do? We like to undo our belt. God told them, I want your belt on you. I want you ready to go. Because in the moment that Pharaoh said, get out, God wanted them on the highway. Okay? This was definitely, I believe the U.S. military has taken this, some of their stances from the book of Exodus, because many times we ate totally dressed, totally ready, standing there with our weapons, our packs and stuff, and we're still shoving food down our mouth. So when they said go, they wanted us on the road, not waiting for us to put our boots on. Verse 12, God will be executing judgment on the people as well as the demons behind the false gods. That was the whole point of this. It was not just to totally deliver Israel. It was to show one, it was to show his power to Israel, because they're going to have to trust him. They do not know him. They're going to have to trust him that he's got power. Then he had something to show to the false demons, to those false gods. He had to bring them into judgment. He brought Pharaoh into judgment. He brought the land of Egypt into judgment. That's what all of this did. So when you look around, Yes, we should pray for mercy. But I promise you, when you look around and you see devastation hitting the way that it hits, it's uncanny. Most of them will be idolatrous countries. Some of them will be countries that have persecuted Christians and killed Jews. Germany is still reeling from the Holocaust. They can sit back and say, well, we didn't know. Yes, but you voted him in. Were there real Christians in Germany? Yes, there were. Okay? And God knows how to distinguish between a believer and a non-believer. Okay? So that's why I say, don't sit here and worry. Don't sit here and fret. There are things we can do, but for the most part, trust God in it. Because some of the things I've just learned this week, you're going to have to trust God a whole lot. I've not investigated it, but I believe it was H.R. 374. Has been signed into law, which states that you are no longer allowed to protest anywhere the Secret Service say. You can't protest any government official. Does that not sound like a direct First Amendment slap in the face? But it has been signed into law. It went in secretly. So, but like I said, I've not investigated that just yet, but it was on Fox News. So that was our source. Unfortunately, sometimes Fox has been known not to search out their resources either. But I say that to let you know, don't worry about it. God will set the record straight. And as long as we are doing what God has told us to do, we have nothing to worry about. In my opinion, what are they going to do? Kill me? Yeah, that's called graduation. I'm going home. You're going to have to work to do it. But and again, and in verse 14, it was to be a memorial forever. You know, we have a memorial uptown to remember that Morrow County sold more war bonds per capita than any other county. I believe that's in the country, isn't it? Yeah, that was in the country. This was a pretty big deal. Because Morrow County didn't have half the population it's got now. So you stop and think about that. This was to be greater than that. Because this went with the person wherever they went. This also began to put a... the word I'm looking for. Up until this time, Israel was on everybody else's timeline. The Passover that night put Israel as the official timekeepers. That's why I have had such a hard time trying to boil down to see exactly which Pharaoh might have been the guilty party. However, it started running into problems because Hebrew years aren't the same as American, definitely not the same as American, and everybody had their own way of keeping track. Some did it by the sun, some did it by the moon, some did it by planets that moved. So Israel was the one we had to follow. Now they're all sent, there's actually some similar to Israel's, but Israel became the official. So we need to watch. That's why we have to watch Israel. It was important that in 1948, that Israel became a nation. Okay? Because it was in 1948 BC, Abraham was born. So there's so much that actually means something if you watch. And as the Jews say, coincidence is not a kosher word. Then they would have a 7-day unleavened bread. This was a festival of the unleavened bread. If you don't know what unleavened bread is, it's a pita. That's all it is. It's a burrito, man. It's just rolled out. It has absolutely no leaven. It's to be cooked, and you can take it with you, and it will keep. They were to cook it. They were to prepare it I believe fresh every day, but the first and the last day, they were not allowed to do any work other than preparing the actual unleavened bread. These were to be set apart. They were to be holy. Now, part of this reason is God had to get all of these people from Succoth to the Red Sea in a matter of a couple days. Okay? Now, this sounds like it's an impossible journey. I was actually sitting over there before service and downloaded Google Earth onto the computer over there. And I'm going to tell you what, it seems like it was an impossibility, but the reality was it really wasn't that hard. All Moses had to do was follow the cloud or the pillar between the mountains. That's all he had to do. So what God wanted them to do was to be ready. Have a snack. You've got it with you. They were to camp, I believe, twice. That was it. They were to get camped twice. Now you stop and think about that for just a minute. When they finally did take a census 40 years later, there was around 2 million of them. I believe at this point, I know, read one point, there was 600,000. So there might have been a million total people. Okay, and I think I shared the last time that for 2 million people, you had to include 10 counties in central Ohio to come up with that many people in 2010. So it's not like it was just this small little thing happening. You see 600,000 to a million people moving, that kicks up some dust. That gets some attention. Because I promise you, you take 500 troops and you march them down the street. You can march them down Main Street and you can stand outside here and you will hear them and they will sound like one. So imagine a million people. By the way, the million man march really wasn't a million man. I think the estimates put it closer at about 300 to 400,000. But you see how many people that filled that. It's a lot of people. And God had to get them from point A to point B in a hurry because he knew Pharaoh was going to wise up and say, wait a minute, I just lost all my slaves. I just lost the backbone of my economy. And so that's where we jump into that. Now the firstborn was to be consecrated. Everything that broke the womb, beast or man, was to be consecrated. If it was an animal, it was to be sacrificed. If it was a child, it was to be redeemed. Now there was a different price between male and female. The male cost more. It later on in the Levitical laws, you will find that if you did not redeem the male, the firstborn male, he was to serve in the house of the Lord. This is where Samuel came in. Samuel was not redeemed. He became a prophet. He served Eli, the high priest. Now, it did not make him a Levite. He was still of whatever tribe he came from. But he still served God in the house and became, like I said, a prophet. So God established that. He established that feast of the unleavened bread. And then it says in chapter 13 and verse 17, that it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines. In other words, God did not take them on the short 3-day cruise. But you know what the hilarious part is? They still got shipwrecked. They could have went this way. 3 days, they'd have been in the land of Canaan. It said God took them south to southeast. Took them to the wilderness. Now, there's so much type and shadowing here. Where did Jesus go right after he got filled with the Holy Spirit to the wilderness? He went out and he had to trust God. He got baptized. The Holy Spirit came upon him. People saw it visibly. And they said that it looked like a dove, that it came down gently. They could see the presence of God resting on him. Not that this dove came flying down and landed on his head. which is obviously the imagery we always have. And then it said immediately he went to the wilderness for 40 days, representative of the 40 years that Israel would spend walking around in the wilderness, learning to trust God. So what do you think Jesus was learning out in the wilderness? To trust God. He was tempted in every which way you could think of. Not all the temptations came at that particular time. If you're in the wilderness by yourself, how are you going to be tempted by a woman? There ain't no women out there. So temptation came from the rest of the point. As a matter of fact, we read of three temptations that did come towards the end of it. And it said that the devil left looking for a more opportune time. The more opportune time was not Judas Iscariot. Jesus would be tempted while he was ministering. Jesus would be tempted while he was walking. Well, I just ought to jack slap that man. He was tempted when Peter said, "Lord, you shall not surely die." Jesus turned around and called him Satan. Which, by the word just means enemy. He said, "You are my enemy. You're a trap." So as God began to set them out, he was taking them on a journey to trust him. Most of us don't like this journey. I'll be honest with you, none of us like this journey. But it has to happen. There has to be those alone times, those times when you feel alone. Because that's when you have to trust, God is there with me. There has to be those times when you feel like you just want to hit anything and everything that comes your way. You have to trust, God will see me through this. We read of three temptations, that's all, out of 40 days. And I would assume that maybe the last 3 days. Or maybe they were all on the last day. But what about the other days? He spent those getting to know his Father. Not that Jesus, the Son of God, didn't know his Father. Jesus, the Son of Man, had now to learn to trust God. Again, everybody likes to think that Jesus came down here and, well, he didn't ever have to do nothing. He had to learn to walk. He had to learn to be potty trained. He had to learn to talk. He was a man. And if he was not, then it was all a big joke. He had to be tempted every which way. Now that's what scares me. He had to be tempted in every way that every human being on earth would ever be tempted to sin. That opens up a world. That's Pandora's box right there. So what Israel is about to go into, the story that he's setting up, the physical that is translating, is now showing us a spiritual journey down the road for Jesus Christ. We're kind of going in reverse, if you haven't figured that out. See, before Abraham, well, actually, Abraham would have been, I believe, alive at that point. Knowledge was great. So great, in fact, that they built a tower that was reaching. And God said that they will accomplish what it is they set out to do. They will accomplish this. So knowledge kept increasing. We're just going in reverse. The second Adam will now take his rightful place at the end of days to be the ruler. And he will establish a kingdom. The Bible says that this earth will be destroyed and pass away. This heavens and this earth will be destroyed, and God will create a new heavens and a new earth. So, like I said, as we're seeing this, you need to understand the signs and wonders were not just magic tricks. And I say that because, remember, a couple of them were duplicated by witchcraft. I pointed something out to Angela the other day, that in the Bible times, the men of God who performed miracles and they did things, they were considered magicians. They didn't have a word that differentiated and said, oh, you're a prophet of God. They just said the seer. This man has visions. This man sees things. He knows things. There's a gift that is on people. And I believe personally that it's how you use it. That's why Simon the sorcerer was rebuked by the apostles. He had a gift. And he wanted the Holy Spirit in order to give his gift more power so he could try to control people, so he could do the things he wanted. Is witchcraft real? Yes, it is. Do I believe that bat's wings and toe of newt and eye of frog is going to give me a curse? No. But I do believe there's a real power. And I do believe there are people that can wield that power. I have to believe that now because I never once in my life thought I'd see the United States in the shape it's in. So we're going to be seeing more and more of God's hand. God's showing up. God's showing his power for a reason. It's by no coincidence that you are learning to declare the will of God on this earth. Maggie said the other day she had an opportunity. She's going to work and her car started making some funny noises, some serious funny noises. And she thought, no, I'm not going to do this. Car, you will line up with the way you were created to work properly. She aligned her will up with God's will and with the way that thing was supposed to be. And it's working. It quit whatever it was. I don't know. I don't investigate. If I've been running around for 500 miles on an empty tank, I don't investigate why. So we're seeing God move because he wants his people to trust him. I'm hoping to be able to have some video of Ron Wyatt for you. I'm hoping to be able to get it next week. Katie, if you can assist me on that because they're on YouTube. Because I don't think our downloader, I think they eliminated that one at one point. But anyway, I want to be able to play these. And there's even something that ended up on PAX at one point about the Exodus and the crossing. And the two men that they talked about actually got their directions and stuff from Ron Wyatt. Although they disagree with where he crossed at, but Ron's got the proof in picture form of what he found. And everything else just seems, it's like, well, yeah, no kidding. So when I show you, and I'm really, well, let's see, next Wednesday, we won't have the roof on, so I can't run the cable line over for the internet, or else I'd get on Google Earth and I'd show you what it looks like today, where they crossed, how they got there, because there is now a highway. They've paved it. It's not a real wide highway, but it is a highway. And they say there are huge boulders shoved to the sides, all the way down through there. And he said underwater, where he believes the crossing took place, he said the same thing is true. There are boulders and there is a path under the water that goes to Saudi Arabia. So, me personally, I've always thought there has to be proof that God did these things on the earth. Well, there is. We just needed technology to bring it out. So, you know, we're not I'm excited because we're seeing the things that God has done. We're finding the proof. And you know, the sad part is we'll have proof and people still won't believe. The only thing I wish is that they'd quit looking for the body of Jesus. You did read the story, right? He resurrected from the dead and he went to heaven. And his spirit lives in my heart because he sits on a throne. But if I have his spirit, I have him. I have the Father. If I've seen him, if I've seen the Holy Spirit, I have seen the Father. So, but I'm hoping, like I said, to be able to have all that together. We'll just see how that works out for next week, because it's really, really interesting. Because some of it was from the 80s when they were talking about when they did these interviews, and I wasn't hearing anything. I was still hearing that Mount Sinai was on the Sinai Peninsula, and listen, if the Muslims believe they have Sinai and are willing to protect it with military guards, I think there's something to look at, especially with the proof that I'll show you, because it's this proof that has totally flipped me that, okay, yeah, you know what, guys who sat in a castle somewhere on a mountain and tried to decipher where the Exodus took place at are trumped by the guys who were out there on the ground pounding the dirt, and they're finding the 12 columns of stone. They're finding the mountain that is burnt. Out of a range that's the only mountain that's burnt, that's black. So these are the kinds of things I'm talking about. So like I said, this, as far as this whole story, this is, for me, this is a big kick. Because this, I've just been so excited about it. I've been looking for the Ark of the Covenant. It's probably buried in a cave in Israel. They believe it's actually in a cave outside Jerusalem. But the Israeli government will not let them go any further and look for it. So, who knows? All I know is I took the place of the Ark of the Covenant. Because that's where the presence of God dwelt. And that's for us to have now. All right? So let's stand. So like I said, next week you come in, things are going to look a little different. In the parking lot and on the buildings next door. Monday they're putting up walls here and then all the way down the front. Tuesday we come in. So again, be believing with me for some good weather. We don't need rain, and 40s would be perfect, just so you know. If you know what goal we're going for the 40s. Remember Monday? That's what I'm believing for the next several days coming up, because I've got some things I've got to do, and there's going to be one night that the roof is going to be off of that building. And I got a lot of tools over there. And there's 600 amps sitting in the corner. Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why I'm asking for help. This is March. But I serve the God who did part that sea, who calmed that storm. And so that's what we're believing for in Jesus' name, that next week is going to be in the 40s. Rob's not going to have to try to put windshields in when it's about 5 degrees and you can't feel his fingers. Those of you that work outside aren't going to have to do it. And we'll get these trusses and the roof on, and bless God, then we'll just keep on trucking. We'll get these buildings connected, opened up a hallway, get new classrooms built. Tear out this back wall, because if you weren't paying attention Sunday, we were pretty full in here. So, And it wasn't that many visitors. So, all right, let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord God, for your word and, Father, for the life that it brings, even in a story that we've probably heard thousands of times. I know most of us have watched it hundreds of times. But Lord, I know personally I receive something new just by digging into it, just by telling others here tonight about it. And how you showed your path for redemption for mankind. So Lord, I thank you. Father, we receive that redemption and that deliverance because it is ours. And now, Lord, thank you. Seat this into every last one of us. And Lord, I pray now, blessings upon your people. Father, blessings as they go to work tomorrow. Father, that they will be strengthened and encouraged. Father, in spite of what may happen, they will remember who they are and who you are, and that nothing shall come against them that can prosper. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, you're dismissed.